Folks, your financial freedom is at stake when the government thrives on creating unrelenting inflation, an astronomical debt, crippling interest rates, and market turmoil that we haven't seen in decades. And now you have an administration that wants to tax everything that you have to fund runaway entitlement spending. You should empower yourself with opportunity and the freedom to pursue success and to keep the fruits of your hard work. And if you want to protect your future, you should call a precious metals dealer that I trust, American Hartford Gold. They can show you how to protect your savings and retirement accounts by diversifying your portfolio with physical gold and silver. And all it takes to get started is a short phone call. And American Hartford Gold can have physical gold and silver delivered right to your door or inside your IRA or 401k. They make it easy. American Hartford Gold is the highest rated firm in the country with an A+ rating from the Better Business Bureau and thousands of satisfied clients. Call today and they'll give you up to $5,000 of free silver on your first qualifying order. Call American Hartford Gold today at 866-887-1188. That's 866-887-1188 or text Dana to 998899. That's 866-887-1188 or text Dana to 998899.
When it comes to the cartels, the Mexican president yesterday said, we don't want the U.S. to do anything. Well, you know what you tell the Mexican president? Either you do it or we do it. But we are not going to let all of this lawlessness continue to happen. And we can do that by putting special ops in there, by doing cyber, by really being strategic. Just like we dealt with ISIS, you do the same thing with the cartel.
Presidential candidate, former Governor Nikki Haley on the Republican side. Yeah, there's a lot of common sense in there. And I would add to what I was saying yesterday. Welcome to the Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez in for my friend Dana Lash. Dana taking a few days off for a spring break, and we'll be back with us on Monday. Meantime, border issues, since we're broadcasting the Dana Show from her Southern Command here on the near the U.S.-Mexican border. I'm almost within walking distance, about 10, 12 miles direct path to the Rio Grande River. Nikki Haley saying, well, we should go after these cartels like terrorists, right? That's the word missing. And you know, special operations. That's how we deal with Islamo-fascist terrorists these days. We have all these special operations, many that we don't know of. A few trickle out, and we find out in the news how our special forces, they took out this Islamic terrorist crazy guy. They took out a leader of a cell in Somalia, took out a leader of an Islamic terrorist cell in Libya, Somalia, wherever, right? She says, let's go after them that way. But I said yesterday, you designate these individuals, at least several of them that you want to take out one by one, start plucking them and cherry picking these individuals, these cartels. Our government knows who they are. Man, you can't tell me that Drug Enforcement, FBI, even the IRS, probably just licking their chops. The IRS going, we wish we could tax some of that revenue that these cartels are amassing. They know who these individuals are. They know the businesses that they're using as fronts to launder the cash. That's what you go after. You designate them as terrorists. The cartels, some of them, do one by one until they all learn their lesson. Mexico's not going to do anything about this. Or Governor Nikki Haley saying, Mexico, you take care of this problem, or we do. Because we're sick, and we have an argument to make on our side. 107,000 plus Americans that died last year. Within the past year, they died because they were poisoned. Yeah, some of them may have been overdoses, individuals that sadly, they made some bad decisions, got addicted to painkillers. Maybe they had a predisposition to be addicted to painkillers. That you're wired that some individuals are just wired that way. Maybe they got sick, got hurt, got some painkillers, and they needed more of a high. They need more juice. And some individuals that were exposed to it, either in law enforcement or the medical community, or just kids exposed to fentanyl, super deadly fentanyl, 107,000 plus Americans. I think several sheriff's associations in this country are looking at this properly, saying it's time. It's time for the federal government to declare at least a couple of cartels in Mexico as terrorist organizations and do everything within the within federal power to fight back, even as Nikki Haley is saying, use special forces to take the terrorists out one by one. Man, that would create an uproar. My goodness, I can just imagine. Mexico City ain't going to do nothing about this. Governors in Mexico, they ain't going to do nothing about it. They're making money off of all this. Many of them, way too many politicians, politicals, bureaucrats, south of the border, and Cartelandia, Mexico, they're making way too much money. They get a little cut, a little piece of the action. Around here, we call it mordida. Mordida is a bite. Literally, that's the direct Spanish translation. Mordida is a bite. Let me get a little taste, a little bite of that taco, that sandwich you're enjoying, that financial sandwich. They're in the pocket of the cartels. That's the truth. So you don't expect them. Oh, but they will be the first ones. Governors and south of the border, Mexican president, AMLO, say, oh, they invaded this country. They do not recognize the sovereignty of our nation. 107,000 plus Americans are dead just on the fentanyl stuff alone. You can put on that methamphetamine, put on that other deadly drugs coming in from Mexico. Mexico can and should, in my opinion, if it were in their interest. And see, I suspect that if the federal government grew the you-know-whats to actually enforce law, declare some of these organizations, these criminal cartels, sex traffickers, drug smugglers, illegal alien smugglers, if they were to declare them as terrorist organizations and successfully maybe, I don't know, take into custody or join Mexican Marines and fighting and killing some of these guys, I think the Mexican military, they have in Mexico City, they do have a branch, at least one branch, that is beholden to a government that is not funded by the cartels, the centralized government. They do have a military that can patrol the border. See, it all comes from there. Illegal crossers jumping into the river, crossing the Mexican border, headed this way. It starts south of the border with the Mexican military doing its job to control all this illegal activity, drug smuggling, people smuggling, sex trafficking, all of that. They don't do it. Might they if we get a little tougher? I think they would. The cartels know it's possible. Amigo, you probably don't know this, but as a result of what happened a few days back, where you had these folks from South Carolina that were all in the news, which, by the way, where is that in the news right now? Where's the follow-up by New York-based Glass Towers, the big media? Where's the follow-up demanding answers from Mexico City, demanding answers from Washington, demanding answers from Alex Mayorkas, the chief over at DHS? I mean, I got plenty to say about him as well. So where's the follow-up demanding answers? Okay, what are we going to do about it? We got politicians and Nikki Haley saying, well, maybe we should do like special forces, take him out one by one. The Mexican government has the military to patrol the border. They don't. There is no follow-up on what to do. 4 South Carolina residents came down here, 2 killed, 1 shot, the other one survived. It's all gone. It disappeared. It wasn't going to last long in the news. But every single day, by the thousands, they're crossing the border. And I mentioned Alex Mayorkas, the chief over at DHS. Yesterday here in South Texas, we had Border Patrol chief and other folks. It's all Republicans, though. We had Republicans down here. Raul Ortiz, the Border Patrol chief at the national level, contradicting Alex Mayorkas, saying that there is no operational control of the border. Alex Mayorkas a few days back saying there is operational control. Honestly, and I'm just going to put this out there for consumption, I was looking forward to speaking with Chief Raul Ortiz this morning. They pulled that interview last minute. I don't know why. I'm just going to put it out there for public knowledge. I was looking forward to having a conversation with him. But I noticed, and I'm sure the higher-ups in D.C. noticed, that the Border Patrol chief at the national level said that we have no operational control, told Republicans that. No Democrat came down. No, none of these cowards came down here to address this issue. All these Democrats who have no shame whatsoever. This mess belongs to them. Raul Ortiz was down here saying there is no confirmed. He said, yes, there is no operational control by Border Patrol on the U.S.-Mexican border, directly contradicting what his boss over at DHS, the chief, Alex Merrick, said a few days back, that they have operational control of the border. I want to put this out there just for observation. I fear for the future employment of their National Border Patrol chief. Because at that level, he answers to higher-ups. I know there was one reporter following Chief Ortiz down the hall saying, should Mayorkas be impeached? Should Mayorkas be impeached? He's an employee of ours. What the blazes do you think he's going to say? Keeping his, going to say no or keep his mouth shut. He said no. This is a really, really bad time in Border Patrol history, in law enforcement history, on the border. This is a really, really bad time to be working in those agencies and be governed and managed by individuals who have an agenda for open borders. Speaking of the cartel, sidebar mention, I meant to get to this yesterday. There's a group out there that was put out a commentary. They're watching online posts, violent posts. They said that, you know, when I saw that write-up yesterday, the first thing I was thinking, well, here they go. We got the left attacking Elon Musk, my neighbor. Well, he's right here next door in Brownsville. He's, you know, I'm Elon Musk's best friend. We just haven't met yet. Yeah, he's really literally down the street from where I'm here at about 60 miles down the street here from McAllen, down in Brownsville at SpaceX. But that group was criticizing Twitter because since Elon Musk took over and changed all the standards, now cartels are more active online. According to that report, cartels are more active online recruiting and posting videos. Well, fine. I took a step back. First, I thought, well, they're going after Elon Musk. And then I took a step back and said, no, you know, they're actually doing Elon Musk a favor. We can, as a nation, here in the state of Texas, which unfortunately we have to now follow up because the federal government isn't doing it, we can, as a federal government, we can, as businesses and industry and even social media, we can laser focus on this criminal element and put a dent into this criminality. That group saying that Twitter is now seeing an increase in cartel posting, cartel recruitment posting, and videos posted by cartels. And at first I thought, well, they just want to criticize and make Elon Musk look bad because he's got Twitter and he's changing up all the rules. I think it's a good wake-up call, neighbor. Hello, Elon. Anybody working for Elon? Look into this real quick. I know you guys have a public safety, anti-violence thing going on in your code of conduct and in your rules. Well, enforce it. You're going after child porn. You're going after, other postings of violence. You're going after, white supremacist recruitment. You're going after Islamic terrorists. Good wake-up call. Yo, Elon, hey, give those folks who published that, give them a big thank you. Go look for that. Tell your people, go look for those cartel recruitment videos. Shut them down. That's one thing we could do in the private sector. It's 18 minutes after the hour. This is The Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez in for my friend Dana Lash. You want to say hi online? It's on Twitter. It'd be at Sergio Talk or Sergio at KURV.com. This is The Dana Show.
Black Rifle Coffee Company set out on a mission to make the best cup of coffee that's ever hit your mug. And I think they've hit that mission straight on. Their dream has been to sell enough premium coffee to build a support network for veterans, first responders, and law enforcement. And thanks to your support, that dream has come true. Black Rifle Coffee is roasted by a veteran-led team of brilliant coffee graders who work tirelessly to roast and bag the highest quality coffee here in America. And the coffee is truly one of a kind and my favorite. Your support has helped Black Rifle Coffee Company expand their team of active duty service members, veterans, and veteran family members. And they were able to donate over 120,000 bags of coffee to veterans and first responders in 2022. Visit blackriflecoffee.com/Dana and use my code Dana at checkout for 20% off your purchase and your first Coffee Club order. That's blackriflecoffee.com/Dana. Use code Dana and also look for Black Rifle Coffee in grocery and convenience stores. Black Rifle Coffee, America's coffee.
Listen to The Dana Show live on the Odyssey app. Weekdays, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Time.
As far as an act of war goes, I'm not going to go there. Incidents happen, clearly we do not seek armed conflict with Russia, and I believe that at this point we should investigate this incident and move on from there. But we will continue to exercise our rights in international airspace.
All right, that's General Milley, Joint Chiefs, General Milley, not our country, not wanting to seek conflict with Russia, obviously, but. Welcome to the Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez in for my friend Dana. We got headlines on the way. I was looking at this comment. They're commenting on the drone, the U.S. drone, Black Sea, taken down by a Russian jet chasing it and probably clipping it. And, you know, we lost that technology. Millions of dollars of U.S. hardware somewhere out there about 1,000 feet beneath the water, beneath the surface in the Black Sea. You know, I was saying, with Russia going into Ukraine, the much feared and at times revered former Soviet bear, the military, it's been exposed as being weak and underfunded, and they're ill-equipped as well. I mean, that's something. So even if they wanted conflict with the U.S., Russia ain't ready, and they've lost a lot of the frontline troops as well as a result of Ukraine. All right, Steve, well, let's do some headlines.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
What's being called the world's largest semiconductor plant being built in South Korea. It is a $230 billion investment and will be located just outside of Seoul. Samsung is the company taking the lead on this. The announcement coming, of course, is in this country. We even got lawmakers trying to figure out how to increase the number of computer chips in the market. Former Los Angeles Mayor Eric Garcetti has a new gig, will be ambassador to India. And a quick entertainment note. Did you guys ever see the movie Gattaca? It had Uma Thurman and Ethan Hawke. Sci-fi flick. How do I explain it? The genetically inferior were relegated to menial, uninspiring work, but Ethan Hawke's character excelled and went to space. You got to see it. There's going to be a TV series about that. From South Texas, this is The Dana Show.
Breathe life into your own backyard this spring with FastGrowingTrees.com. From shade trees to fresh fruit to privacy hedge plants, let FastGrowingTrees.com help you plant your dream garden with their expert advice and fast, reliable shipping. FastGrowingTrees.com's plant experts curate thousands of easy-to-grow plants, shrubs, and tree varieties for your unique climate. And they understand that sometimes it's hard to know which plants will do best. No problem. With FastGrowingTrees.com, you get customized recommendations based on your specific needs, and they're always available to help keep your plants growing healthy through every season. Their website is easy to use, and the shipping's fast. With FastGrowingTrees, 30-day alive and thrive guarantee, you know everything will look great fresh out of the box. So join over 1.5 million happy Fast Growing Trees customers. Visit FastGrowingTrees.com/Dana now and get 15% off your entire order. Get 15% off at FastGrowingTrees.com/Dana. That's FastGrowingTrees.com/Dana.
Shooting down woke culture one crazy headline at a time. It's The Dana Show.
Chief Ortiz, should Secretary Mayorkas be impeached? Should Secretary Mayorkas be impeached, sir?
No, sir.
Did you hear that at the end? No, sir. That was my friend, Chief Raul Ortiz. He's the National Border Patrol chief. He was chief here in South Texas. Welcome to the Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez, and from my friend Dana Lash. And that's what I was referencing earlier at the beginning of the program, closer to the beginning. Where Chief Raul Ortiz from Border Patrol, he and Republican-only lawmakers here in South Texas yesterday, all the Democrats, they bolted. These cowards, you know, calling what the Republicans are doing on the border a stunt. It's a committee meeting. They had to. They were supposed to show up. All these lawmakers to talk about it. They're not even willing to talk about it. They want to deflect and call everything that's taking place on the border, it's created by Joe Biden, a stunt. Just the fact you want to talk about it. Chief Earl Ortiz, as I was saying earlier, he admitted to these Republican lawmakers, we do not have operational control of the border. That's a fact. Just the numbers. The numbers don't lie. My eyes don't lie to me. We see by the thousands people crossing the border. Millions of them have crossed now under Joe Biden. Could be close to 5 million because of Joe Biden being in the White House and his relaxed border policies. And Alex Mayorkas, the chief of DHS, who is the boss of Border Patrol Chief Raul Ortiz. I fear for his employment, honestly. I just want to put it out there. Just in case, over the next several days, you hear that the Border Patrol Chief is no longer at his gig, it's because the DHS chief has one leftist, willfully blind point of view with an agenda behind it to keep the border open and keep the flow of millions of illegals coming in versus my friend, the Border Patrol Chief, Raul Ortiz, who I know. I mean, just my gut tells me this, the man that I know, I believe that my friend, Border Patrol Chief Raul Ortiz, cannot speak freely. He is an employee of Alex Mayorkas. I believe he's vulnerable. He is a lower rank. He's got a civilian boss, Alex Mayorkas. And with him saying yesterday that we have no operational control, the chief said, Alex Mayorkas saying that we do have operational control. He's a liar. He's just being a liar. And confusing folks in the Midwest, Northeast, across the nation, and, of course, the leftist-minded media, journalism malpractice every single day, not following up, not tightening the screws on that DHS chief. I think my friend at Border Patrol is vulnerable. So just put an ear to the ground, listen to the news, and see what happens in the following days. I hope he's not. I hope he can get to keep his job because we need somebody who knows what it's like on the front lines to continue providing border security. And our people are underfunded. They're overworked. They're doing the wrong type of work. Border Patrol, I say our people, Border Patrol, they're doing the wrong type of work. They're babysitting on the border. And it's a really bad time to be working at Border Patrol right now with this anti-Border Patrol, anti-Border Law Enforcement Administration. I'm going to share with you a conversation here in just a little bit. Stick around. I'm going to focus on health and hopefully get us all to eat a little better. I had a conversation with a nutritionist-minded author, Shelley Loving, and what to eat to feed your brain. That's coming up in just a little bit. Feed your brain. You guys that are a little past midlife, I know I got several of y'all tuning in to talk radio on a daily basis, information-minded folks. Yeah, we're going to feed our brain. Let's look at the right foods. Meantime, speaking of brain, when I read stories like this, I read reports like this, I'm wondering, is this a uniquely American and even a uniquely Canadian, American, European, you know, first world problem? Because you look at the hierarchy of needs, right? Once you go past the daily struggle to find employment, to sell a skill, to gain some wealth, to feed yourself and shelter yourself, then what? Okay, now what do we do? Oh, let's look inward now. Let's start. I think many times, let's just start creating problems. Check this out. New study showing that students who threaten violence in schools, there's so much to unpack there as far as violence in schools and the way schools are these days, but let me just stay on this study. These students who threaten violence in schools often have a history of learning disorders, psychiatric issues. Other studies have profiled shooters at schools. Stony Brook University provided the most recent report that I'm just reading a headline on right now. That this did an investigation into students making threats, research studying several dozen students, 157 specifically, over 20 years. The span of time is good, and the 157 students were the same. the findings showing that most young people were making threats, had several psychiatric diagnoses, hyperactivity, attention deficit, depression, anxiety. There were some signals of autism spectrum disorders. I've been blessed, and I'm so thankful to God Almighty. I was able to grow up preteen in my teen years here in this country, but I also grew up in Mexico, in Mexico, right here across the border in Reynosa, Mexico. I've seen the poverty. I lived in poverty. I slept on the floor. I mean, I've had family, little shacks, dirt floor shacks. I pretty much have seen it all, and I've seen both sides of the rail track. First world, thank you, Jesus, living in first world. Living in Mexico and walking with mom to the market and passing the mounds of trash in Reynosa, Mexico, that really haven't changed in 40 years. They haven't changed. Still got mounds of trash and children that are rummaging through that, like third world. Something maybe to eat and definitely to try to sell to recycle. All those mounds of trash just immediately here south of the border in Mexico. Man, I guarantee you, hyperactivity, depression, attention deficit disorder, issues and commentary and debates on, you know, the autism and how much where the child lands in that spectrum. That does not get any attention whatsoever when you have need, when you're hungry, when you need to make a dollar, when you need to put something in the bank, when you need to put that bank to go buy some bread for you. You're just trying to meet the daily needs. There's no time to be depressed, scatterbrained, anxious. You just need to survive. That's why I wonder many times, all these things, everything else has been met. Now it's time to look inside and create even more problems. And then cripple ourselves to the point where we can't be productive. That's what I think. When I read stuff like this, that's the first thing that pops into mind. So gosh darn spoiled many times. People have no idea what it's like to truly need and be hungry and get up and work all day long just to provide. They got no time to think about attention deficit disorder and hyperactivity and to be depressed. You got to work, man. You got to hustle. All right, enough on that. It's 17 minutes to the hour. This is the Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez. Appreciate you tuning in today. All right, let's do some happy thoughts. Think about food. I'm a foodie. I love food. But what type of food should I eat to keep my brain healthy? Here's my conversation with nutritionist-minded chef Shelley Lovin. A write-up in JAMA Neurology. 1 in 10 American seniors are currently living with dementia. Another 22% of those 65 and older will experience some mild cognitive impairment, one of the early signals, perhaps headed toward Alzheimer's. You are what you eat, and your brain will be, and your brain capacity will also be what you eat. Let me get some commentary, insight from Shelley Lovin, nutrition chef and author of the new book, What is on Your Fork? What can we eat, Shelley, to preserve our mental sharpness, acuity?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, I don't think that we have enough awareness around mental health and it being connected to the foods that we eat, right? We think about doing positive thinking and getting therapy and all that, which is wonderful. But I want to bring more awareness to foods directly also affect your mental health. And so we need to be eating more healthy fats in our diet. I want people to steer away from the low-fat, no-fat diets that were so popular in the 80s and 90s. Our brain is made of fat, and a lot of people don't know that. So we're starving our brain when we're not eating those healthy fats. So things like fatty fishes, salmon, nuts and seeds, like walnuts, are really good for the brain. Okay. So there's lots of foods we can eat that will nourish the brain.
The plaque that develops in the brain that eventually leads or is found in so many Alzheimer's patients, where does that come from? Do you know, Shelley?
Well, I am not a doctor, but I will tell you a lot of it can be stemmed from the foods that we eat. When we're eating overly processed foods, for example, artificial sweeteners. So think of a Diet Coke. A Diet Coke has what in it? Aspartame. Aspartame is a chemical. It is a fake sugar. It's a sugar alcohol. So what it's doing is it's sending all of these fake sugar signals to our body, thinking our bodies are thinking we're getting sugar, which what follows sugar is calories. But with artificial sweeteners, we don't get the calories. so what happens is our body chases the sugar to get the calories that they're never going to get. That's why they're so addicting. With that being said, it is an artificial sweetener. So what is it doing? It's starving us because it's not real food. So in order to avoid things like the plaque buildup and all of that, we need to really concentrate on an anti-inflammatory food.
Okay. Shelley Loving, nutrition chef and author of the book, What's on Your Fork? We're talking about mental acuity, preserving your brain as long as possible by eating the right foods. Are you a fan of supplements? You know, instead of eating fish, many people will grab a jar of like fish oil or things like that. Are you a fan of that?
I am, but I don't think we need to depend on them for the only source. I believe food is the best source for certain things. And so if we can at least incorporate some of the foods and get our, then go to a professional, get your blood tested, see where your levels are, and then incorporate some supplements that are recommended by your doctor. But I don't think just, hey, let's just take fish oil and not eat fatty fish is the best answer.
Okay. Do you swallow some of these supplements? Okay. So do you tell me?
I absolutely do. Not very many.
Okay.
But I do take fish oil. I have dry eyes, and my ophthalmologist said, take fish oil. It helps lubricate your eyes, which absolutely it does. So I do take fish oil, and I'm a big fan, but I also eat salmon and a lot of nuts and seeds several days a week.
Some of these folks that produce these bottles of stuff, they say, well, take this supplement and you'll think sharper. You'll be more on your toes. I mean, does it really work? I mean, I've stayed away from that, so I don't believe any of that. That there's, you can pop a pill and...
You know, it's marketing. They got to make money, right? So they can say what they want and people will buy into it, and that's how they stay in business. I'm not saying it doesn't work, but I'm not saying it does either.
Yeah.
But I do know what does work, and that's what you're eating.
Again, the good fats. So we need to concentrate on, I'll tell people real quick, what do you put in the stuff that you cook, Shelley?
So good fat would be healthy oils like avocado oil, coconut oil, and then good healthy fats are also like the fatty fishes, nuts, seeds, legumes. Those are all good sources of healthy fat.
All right, Shelley. Thank you. We wish you the best. She's author of What's on Your Fork, Shelley Loving. The Biden administration threatening TikTok. He says he's willing to go, he's willing to erase TikTok in the U.S. I don't know how he would accomplish that. There might be like a black market for TikTok. You know how it is. You tell people you can't do something, they'll find a way to get it. Either way, the Biden administration, Joe Biden, threatening a nationwide ban on TikTok if the app isn't sold. The Chinese Communist Party-owned TikTok app isn't sold. Man, that it's too late to turn around. I have no idea how we're going to fix this. We got 100-plus million Americans addicted to TikTok. It's the number one app out there, past YouTube, it passed everything else a long time ago. And even so, think about it. If somehow the Chinese did the kabuki dance and had their company sell to another shell company and do the sign of the cross and make all sorts of promises, oh, we're not going to be sharing any of these data. Where in blazes are the servers? How are you going to monitor the servers? We can't even monitor a Chinese viral, you know, virology, you know, gain of function lab in Wuhan, China. We have no access to that. We have no access to these servers. Whatever they say to follow up on this or a promise they make, we cannot verify. Don't trust TikTok. Tell your kids to get off of TikTok. Erase TikTok. That's the best thing. That's what he should be advocating for. Just remind people. Keep pointing to the enemy, the political enemy, economic enemy, the threat, and the surrendering, voluntary surrender of personal privacy to the Chi-Coms. 10 minutes to the hour. This is The Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez. And for my friend Dana Lash, reporting to you from South Texas.
March Meatness is here, and Good Ranchers has your chance to win free meat. Sign up and fill out your March Meatness bracket at goodranchers.com/March. And if your bracket is best, you win free 100% American Steakhouse quality meat for a year. Subscribe any day this month for free bacon added to your order. And select your meat. Get free bacon. And if your bracket wins, it will all be free for the next year. And if you don't win, well, I mean, you still get free bacon with every order. And it's shipped free. free straight to your door. So that sounds like a win-win. Order today and use code Dana to get an additional $20 off your first order. A chance to win free meat, free bacon, and $20 off. It's madness. Head to goodranchers.com/march to sign up and fill out your bracket. Subscribe to claim free bacon and use code Dana for $20 off the best meat America has to offer. Visit goodranchers.com/march and use code Dana. That's goodranchers.com/march. Good Ranchers, American meat delivered.
Red meat, black coffee, truth telling. The Dana Show.
From South Texas, as I refer to our studio here, Talk Radio in South Texas, KURV, proud affiliate of The Dana Show. The Dana Show Southern Command. Dana's off this week, and for me, it's always an honor. Thank you so much, Dana, for the call. And a big thanks to all the team for helping out. This is The Dana Show from her Southern Command in the Rio Grande Valley of Texas. And coming up in just a little bit, and by the way, catch the condensed version of the program. Producer Steve will condense all the audio from the show and all the interviews, all that, about an hour, 40, 45 minutes. And I know that because I always listen to the podcast. I try to catch up on the weekend. I've got some conversations I want to share with you, including, I think it was an interesting idea by a retired ref, you know, high school football and high school soccer, and, you know, they're like, he's a retired referee in high school sports. There's a new three-strike rule in Texas that is now being put forward and being enforced by the association that represents all referees at kids' sports, high school sports, middle school sports. I think it's a great idea. I want to share that with you next hour. This might be, one way to push back on verbal abuse, violence sometimes that we see by individuals who are giving up, for example, the parents, some of the fans in the stands. There's been an uptick of that type of violence of late. So that's coming up next hour of The Dana Show, reporting to you from South Texas.
Folks, are you concerned about American K-12 education? Are you worried about what your children or grandchildren are learning or not learning in school? So if you've answered yes, my friends at Hillsdale College have a free resource for you. You've heard me talk about how Hillsdale College understands the importance of education to the future of our country. And now they're offering you 10 free print copies of their recent issue of Imprimis, entitled Education as a Battleground, written by Hillsdale College President Larry P. Arn. This special issue provides a factual account of the issues in the ongoing battle over education and why parents and teachers, not bureaucrats or activists, should guide what our children learn. With Hillsdale College, you can make a difference in your community by distributing these copies of Imprimis to your community. Don't miss this opportunity to arm yourself with the facts. Claim your 10 free copies of Education as a Battleground by visiting Dana4Hillsdale.com. That's Dana4Hillsdale.com. Act today and join the battle over education for our country's future. That's Dana4Hillsdale.com.
And it begins. One of the largest banks in the country completely collapsing. Do you know exactly where your money's located? Is it being mismanaged by another woke tech startup? With no light at the end of the tunnel, how do you make sure your investments are safe from being washed away? Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
I mean this sincerely. This is not a broad criticism of all Republicans. This is not your father's Republican Party. This is a different breed of cat now that's in charge.
Yeah. Joe Biden, and he's right. He is right. It is a thanks to Donald Trump, in large part. Thank you to Donald J. Trump. It is a very different Republican Party. A Republican Party that has learned some. Have learned not to sit down anymore, not to reach across the aisle and then be yanked over to the left automatically, not to kowtow, not to bend a knee, not to be afraid to be called a racist or a xenophobe or whatever other language, because when they lose the argument on the left, all they have is name calling. Welcome to Hour 2 of The Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez, in for my friend Dana Lash. You want to say hi online on Twitter, you can try the Twitter thing. At Sergio Talk. I've said for the longest time that the Democrat Party is not your grandfather's. It's not your daddy's Democrat Party either. Heck, I voted Democrat a long time ago. When I was a young college kid here in South Texas, the Texas Democrats Anyone that can be described as maybe moderate or pseudo-conservative is kind of hard to say that. But if you want to put labels on somebody and just look at their voting record and how they don't necessarily vote all the time with leftist crazy ideology, yeah, you'll find some of those in Texas. You'll find those some of those in Austin at the state capitol right now. They're meeting up in Austin. But this Democrat Party today, represented by the National Party, but folks in D.C., all these crazies, these lunatics. I mean, the lunatics are running the American asylum these days. Look at Florida. Look at the individuals that are pushing back, protesting the fact that lawmakers want to protect kids from confused parents or parents with a leftist agenda hell-bent on changing the sex of their children because their children say they feel like the opposite gender, or they feel pretty, or they feel like a girl saying they feel like a boy, and they wish to inject. And you got so many people in the medical community, they're willing to follow along, and, you know, this gender dysphoria, and we're going to try to affirm the gender. And, you know, we have one, I don't know who the stupid woman was, I saw that video over and over again on Twitter last night at that protest out in Florida, because they're moving forward in Florida to protect kids. Make sure that at the first sign of confusion, which it's natural for kids to try to figure out who they are. Little tomboys, little girls, little tomboys, little boys who, you know, they start playing with dolls. And just because of that, you have some leftist, lunatic, confused, amoral, no compass, no moral compass whatsoever for some of these parents that wish to subject with many people in the medical community stand behind them. They want to using other pronouns. They want to inject these kids with gender hormonal changing chemicals and even subject them to surgery. Some idiot I saw last night on Twitter, some woman out there at the protest in Florida, they're pushing back on this. They're calling it anti-LGBT, anti-trans community legislation in Florida. It's defense of children. That is child abuse, what's being proposed. That woman saying, we're losing our trans babies in Florida. We're losing our trans babies. And people believe that. What, just because your kid says he's a monkey? Well, you're going to start buying nothing but bananas and buying a swing set? Just because your kid thinks or believes, mommy, rawr, I'm a dinosaur. Oh, I need to affirm. I'm going to be a bad parent if I don't affirm that, you know, my child says he's a doggy. Mommy, I'm a doggy. I'm going to be a bad parent if I don't affirm the fact that my kid is telling me he's or she's a doggy. That's lunacy. And they're running big chunks of the American asylum these days. And on the political side, it's the Democrats who own this lunacy. It's crazy. This is not your daddy's Democrat Party. This is these crazy Democrats. These are what did Biden say about Republicans? He said it's a different breed of cat. Well, the Democrats are a different breed of rats these days. The political chasm between left and right, between sane and insane would be on the Democrat side, all these crazy leftists, all these social justice warriors, and anybody in favor of complete social upheaval when it comes to gender and everything else, that is the radical left. The chasm is so wide. Now we can't see each other anymore. It's just crazy what's taking place. Border security stuff, I saw this up in headline from up in New York, which comes all the way back to my area of the country, the border. Investigation continuing after Narcan had to be used to revive five workers at the Hackensack Mall. Workers, all women between the ages of 29 and 41, they had been poisoned by fentanyl, overdosed on fentanyl. Of course, cartels bring in that seven. There's two cartels in Mexico that are pointed to as bringing in about 70-80% of the fentanyl in this country. I don't have much more information. I don't think they were doing drugs, but man, you touch this stuff, they'll knock you out. And they'll need Narcan to keep you alive. Speaking of Mexican corruption here in my market here in South Texas and the Mexican state right across the border. This is news that you will not hear top of the hour. I'm sharing this with you because you need to know this. This dates back several years. I mean, we're talking about over a decade now. Former governor just south of the border, his name is Tomas Yarrington, sentenced in a Houston federal courtroom this week. Yarrington is 66 years old, and so many different reports and conversations in the courts of his connection to Mexican drug cartels, more than likely providing plenty of wealth to him. This guy was a former candidate for president of Mexico, Tomas Yarrington, former governor of Tamaulipas State. Tamaulipas State, by the way, one of those states immediately south of the border. The U.S. State Department is warning all Americans, don't travel to Tamaulipas State, immediately south of the border. That's where the four folks from South Carolina went to. Two got shot dead, one was shot, one survived. And we have them, as I said on yesterday's program, we have them because there's a fifth individual who came with that party who did not go and start calling 911 as soon as something went wrong south of the border. Either way, back to Tomas Yarrington. So up in Houston, federal court, former governor of Tamaulipas State in Mexico laundered cash. Man, he's been found guilty and sentenced to 9 years in prison. Bought U.S. beachfront condos, estates, airplanes, fancy vehicles, even bought some land here in some of my communities here in South Texas. This is just par for the course, man. And this is what they get to. And they're able to prosecute on the U.S. side because there's U.S. assets that can be seized, which goes back to what I said earlier. Don't believe what the White House press secretary says. Don't believe what the White House says. You declare some of these cartels as terrorist organizations, you can go after even on the military side, knock out their teeth, but also on their assets side. The businesses, the shell companies, the companies are using service providers on this side of the border to launder all that cartel cash. Interesting note I saw related to credit card purchases or credit cards that are used to purchase firearms, purchase guns. From Northeast, of course, attorneys general up Northeast, New Jersey, New York area. Report today says that they're banding together, calling on major credit card companies to create a code, a specific code for gun sales. So every time somebody swipes a card and purchases a gun or purchases ammunition or et cetera, whatever, it pops up as being related to a gun transaction. There was another write-up I saw a few days back. The credit card industry was like this close, pretty much on their own, to create something like this. Let's code a gun purchase. That way we know who's buying guns and buying ammunition, and that way in the event we need to provide this to the government, we can go ahead and provide them the names, the list of all these offenders. Law-abiding consumers, law-abiding customers, law-abiding gun owners to be singled out like this by credit. And you know what? I would not be surprised if major credit card companies in this nation who were like this close to doing this pretty much on their own, if they heed the call by New Jersey, New York, New York City, up Northeast, these attorneys generals, these prosecutors who would like to see those codes, American Express, MasterCard, Visa, Discover, pledging to add a merchant code for gun retailers. They did that back in September. They said that they were going to hold off on those plans because of a pushback from customers saying, hey, what the hell are you doing? You got no business reporting this to the government, no business in amassing this information, this private information, and have it readily available where just pulling a trigger, you could be sending that to the government. No, you can't do that. And that's the only reason that they laid off of this. So there's a new push by the Attorney General saying, yeah, go ahead and do it. Hey, credit card companies, you guys go ahead and do it. We'll support you. Just keep that on. They're on some of the issues that you need to watch. Coming up in just a few minutes, I'm going to share with you a story from North Texas. I had this for a couple of days, and I had so much information. I should have shared this a couple of days back, but just an example of how you and I, you know, I got kids. I got a 15-year-old. I got a 10-year-old. If you got kids, grandkids, the internet is a sewer. Social media, it's a big sewer as well. Not all of it is bad, but there's some bad people on there as well. There's a case out of North Texas. A 13-year-old little girl, through social media, wind up believing some 34-year-old predator and got in a really, really bad situation. This is a wake-up call for everybody. You guys need to check your kids' devices. Violence, verbal attacks, physical attacks at high school games, at kids' matches, soccer, basketball, football. Those incidents, they've been increasing. And according to somebody on the front lines, a retired ref who represents the Association of Referees at these school matches, verbal attacks, physical attacks have been growing exponentially the past several years. We got a rotten culture, lack of sportsmanship, and bad examples among parents to the point where here in Texas, we get an association saying, okay, high school, junior high school districts, you guys don't control your crowds, don't control your parents, don't control these verbal attacks and physical attacks. Three strikes, you're out. Referees, we ain't showing up. I think this is a good example for the rest of the nation. I want to share that audio with you. That conversation coming up in just a little bit with retired referee Michael Fitch. From South Texas, I call it the Dana Show Southern Command, the talk studios of KURV, proud Dana affiliate. I'm Sergio Sanchez. This is the Dana Show.
Thanks to your support, Patriot Mobile has emerged as one of the leaders in the parallel economy, and they have big news. Patriot Mobile now offers service with all three major networks. This means if you're with the big three and like the service but hate their values, you can access them with Patriot Mobile. They also offer a performance guarantee. So if you're not happy with your coverage, you can switch between the three major carriers for free. Patriot Mobile, America's only Christian conservative wireless provider, offers nationwide coverage on the best 4G and 5G networks. So you get the same great service while supporting a company that fights to preserve our God-given rights and freedoms. Resolve now to stop supporting companies that don't align with your values. The Patriot Mobile 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Just visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call them at 878-PATRIOT. Get free activation today with the offer code Dana. That's patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT. patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
This is the Dana Show. We're reporting to you from South Texas, the Dana Show Southern Command. I'm Sergio Sanchez, and for my friend Dana, Goldman Sachs is lowering the 2023 economic growth forecast. All the bank problems of late having them a bit nervous. General Motors shutting down production at a big plant in Bowling Green, Kentucky. They're going through some parts shortages for some of their vehicles. This bizarre story from Illinois. I'll try to share as much of this write-up as I can real quick. A former Family Feud contestant facing murder charges in the death of his estranged wife. Tim Blyfnick from Illinois has been charged with home invasion, two counts of first-degree murder. His wife was found dead, multiple gunshot wounds at her home last month. The suspect was arrested this week. See, back in 2019, his wife, they were on Family Feud, made an appearance. He said on the show that his biggest mistake was at his wedding when he said, "I do." My goodness. Dallas Cowboys in the news. Jerry Jones confirming Zeke Elliott. Yeah, they're parting ways. Zeke Elliott and the Cowboys parting ways. Illusionist David Blaine recovering after suffering an injury during a performance in Vegas. Happened as Blaine was jumping onto a pile of boxes about 80 feet above. The performer is seen on a video falling through the boxes and can be heard screaming in pain. That wasn't part of the performance. I'm sure a lot of confused people going, is this real? He's screaming in pain, went through those 80 feet through those boxes, hit the floor hard. Dislocated shoulder. They had to put that shoulder back in place on site. Ouch. He's reportedly doing well. I bet you he didn't find the card during that trick, though. From South Texas, The Dana Show, Southern Command. I'm Sergio Sanchez. This is The Dana Show.
Want a behind-the-scenes look at The Dana Show? Subscribe to Dana's chapter and verse newsletter for a deeper dive in all things Dana at danalash.com.
Hey.
Oh, look at this.
Here they are.
Have we named her? What's her?
I'm in support of my daughter Ruby. I'm having them be a they them.
Oh.
I'm gonna just call them them.
Oh. That's the voice of Jamie Lee Curtis, actress Jamie Lee Curtis. She's holding, if you haven't seen this online on Twitter yet, she's holding an Oscar. It's a statue, an Oscar prize. A little bald figure, and that's what she's referring to. I call this they, them, like gender neutral. It's just part of the craziness that, wow, man, you would have told me several years back, this is what we would be fighting in the culture wars right now. I'd laughed in your face. I wouldn't believe you. Welcome to The Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez, and for my friend Dana Lash, and you want to say hello online, it's use the Twitter thing. It's open up for messages. At Sergio Talk, at Sergio Talk on Twitter. Email here at the station, Sergio@KURV.com. The Jamie Lee Curtis thing reminded me of another headline I had here in the stack. And other video I'm sure you've seen posted online on Twitter. Drew Barrymore. Have you seen her? Drew Barrymore. It's like the other day, my wife, Daly, said, hey, what's this picture? Drew Barrymore is kneeling in front of, who's this actress? Ain't no actress. It's like, I think she has a talk show, right, Drew? And she's kneeling in front of, it's a dude. In fact, it's, I don't know his name. I don't care. I just know he's a very popular figure. He's out there talking about women's fashion and makeup and providing makeup advice. He's just a happy-go-lucky fellow. He's just, oh, I'm so happy he's doing his thing. He's one of the more popular transsexual individuals these days. I don't know if he's done the whole snip, snip, cut, cut thing. I don't know. I just, he's like a superstar. I think this might be the dude that probably made it all the way to the White House and interviewed, had a conversation with Joe Biden, if it's the same guy that I'm thinking of. So this trans individual, this guy dressing up, you know, cosplaying as a woman, as Dana properly says, who's a very popular figure on the social media site, TikTok and Instagram. He posts all these things. So Drew Barrymore had him on her show. And there's a picture that has gone viral. She's kneeling in front of this guy. And it's obvious to everybody, right? You're thinking, they've gone full circle. What, the fight for women's equality, women's right to have women's sports, the patriarchy has won, amigo. As some of those jokes that you see online, even men do a better job being beauty contestants and winning beauty pageants. Not only can they now play women's sports, but they can go in women's, you know, beauty contests and win that as well. It's like we've gone full circle where women exerting their place in society, the job front, in entertainment, you name it, education, everywhere. They've asserted their place. Okay, I am woman, hear me roar. And now it's down to a little meow, barely. Because many of these women, actresses, voices and faces that are familiar in pop culture, they're the ones that are advocating and apologizing for all this and promoting it. Amigo, I say, don't bend a knee. Like, they're human beings. All the folks who are trans and identify as transgender, I don't hate them. You shouldn't hate them. They're human beings. They're confused human beings. Let's call a spade a spade. Let's call it what it is. They are confused. This is mental illness. Don't bend a knee. Don't advocate. Don't apologize. Don't try to normalize and celebrate mental illness. Anyone wanting, wishing, working, advocating, and pushing society to punish me, for example, I just, you know, I'm thinking back to what I just said about this guy who's dressing as a woman who Drew Barrymore on her show is kneeling before they're having a conversation. She's just trying to be sensitive and take in the moment. And she, but she's kneeling in front of a trans woman. It's a man. It's a dude. They've gone full circle. The patriarchy has won. Women are kneeling before men again. So this guy dressing like a woman. Don't bend a knee. Don't normalize. It's mental illness. The agenda for these folks is to, like I was telling you, he's a dude. There are individuals that are out there so radical in their way of thinking. They wish to impose their language reset by law. And if they had the power to do so, they could come. They could have some goons waiting for me in the lobby right after the show. Drag me away for breaking the law. Want to impose this by edict of law. And force me to say something. You can't impose that on me. You can't impose that on rational, common sense minded individuals. There's some individuals wishing to twist. Forget morals. What is morally right? What is black and white? Biology, the very standard of science, the very God that they kneel to, just throw it out the window. Just throw all these cells and all the DNA out the window. Throw the size of the pelvis, throw it all out the window. Anyway, that's one of those pictures out there on social media. Drew Barrymore kneeling in front of this guy. It's 19 minutes to the hour. This is the Dana Show reporting from South Texas. As I promised you earlier, a conversation I had with somebody on the front lines of being a referee and a policy that's being imposed in Texas that might provide a solution for other states. You guys facing more verbal and physical attacks at those kid games. You got kids on the field playing all sorts of kid sports, soccer, baseball, little kiddie football. There seems to be a growing problem of belligerent parents, upset parents, a bunch of Karens out there, and the dads, the Kevins, that are at times getting combative, overzealous, potty mouth parents, sometimes becoming violent with these refs. Well, Texas is pushing back. There's a story I saw here that New Jersey is also pushing back. Up in New Jersey, they got something called the Penalty Box Act that carries a prison time for anybody that falls off the rails, and if it descends into violence on the kiddie sports field, parents might be going to jail. Michael Fitch is executive director of the Texas Association of Sports Officials. You know, the refs that will play, that volunteer many times to help out the kids when it comes to all these sports. 15,000 member group. Michael is executive director. I appreciate the time today, Mike. So is the problem so bad now compared to some years back that we now need laws for this, Mike? We threaten jail time.
Well, first, thank you, Sergio, for having me on to address this very serious problem. And we have been witnessing an upward spiral in abuse. And when I say abuse, I'm talking about excessive verbal abuse, threats of physical abuse, and certainly physical abuse itself. It's been on the rise for probably 15 years. We noticed a really big spike during the pandemic. I think that's probably understandable. But since then, it hasn't leveled off. It continues to spike upward at the pandemic rate. And that's alarming because we are losing officials all over the state in all sports as a result.
So much for sportsmanship. Bad example mom and dad are providing. They yes. Probably also play sports. I understand that your organization, the Texas Association of Sports Officials, they have this new three strikes rule. Can you describe that for me?
Yes, sir. Each of our officials turn in an incident report anytime something unusual happens during a game or a match. We get dozens and dozens of those every morning. We go through each one of them, and we pull out any examples of excessive verbal abuse or threat of physical abuse, or certainly physical abuse. Once a school gets three of these during an entire school year, not just during a sports season, then they're reviewed by the presidents of our seven sports. And if they agree, if the majority of them agree that, yes, this school is exhibiting a culture of abuse, in other words, we're making sure that that we didn't have maybe a thin-skinned member that turned in something that maybe shouldn't have. But once we're confident that we've got three solid examples, then I'm directed to notify the school district. And the school district is given 10 days to submit what their plan is on curbing this problem. If they submit a plan that we feel is comfortable with, then we will work with them and monitor the progress. If they do not respond to us, or if they simply say, yeah, we'll try to do better, that's obviously not going to cut it. Then the next notice they get from us is on a certain date, they will get no sports officials at any level of any game in all any sport until this problem is addressed.
How old is this three-strike rule that you put in place now?
This is our first year. It went into effect at the first of the 22-23 school year, so basically since August 1st.
Did any schools strike out?
I don't want to publicly comment on that, but I will say that we've got several that are very, very near.
The sports officials, the refs, I think that if school strikes out, that would be big news. Hey, the refs didn't show up because we got way too many belligerent parents, maybe too much violence. I think that would be big news once it happens. It would probably scare everybody straight. You can't speak on behalf of school districts, but what do they do in order to solve this issue? What, just tell parents, don't go? Have some parents been blacklisted?
Well, we leave it up to the school district. And that's up to the school district. Ultimately, it's a school district responsibility for the conduct of their attendees, their spectators. So, and you know, we got 1,200 plus school districts in Texas, some of them very, very large, some of them very, very small. So there's not one policy that's going to address all of them. We did have an example in soccer last year that we had a problem, and the school district basically did not allow any spectators for the next two home games. The third home game, they allowed only immediate family of the players. And then after that, they started slowly adding more people in and continued that trend as long as the problems were abated.
That's interesting.
And that seemed to work very well.
To be a sports official, a ref, that's a special calling. Eh? People need to be passionate about stuff like this. How much training do individuals go through?
Yes, we have. We do all the training, both at the state level and at the local. In all of our sports, we have over 160 local chapters across Texas. So we especially give focused training to new members to give them a basic understanding of not only the rule, but the intent of the rule. And then each year, our members take an exam. They also have to have continuing education on rule changes and philosophies of enforcing the rules. So it's an ongoing process every year.
Michael Fitch is the executive director of the Texas Association of Sports Officials. They got a three-strike rule now. If there's too many verbally abusive or maybe even some violent folks in the crowd, parents or whoever's just not behaving, they got a three-strikes rule that if a school district does not properly address this, like a sportsmanship, then no refs will show up. They'll just stay home. Yeah, good luck officiating a game. Do you ever have a bad incident with people in the crowd or parents or somebody just being just obnoxious?
Well, yes, and I've been retired from the field. It's been a while, but back in my early years, especially as a still in college high school football official officiating in a small West Texas town and had our car surrounded by basically an angry mob refusing to let us leave. Then, those were extremely few and far between. But unfortunately, in 2023, they're becoming more common. And that's the scary part. I mean, who would want to go out there and put your life in jeopardy in some cases for just doing something that you love to do that's not making your house payment or your car payment? You're giving back to the sport that you love and to the students. The problem starts at the youth sports level, the club select leagues. That's where parents and players are allowed to misbehave, sometimes in extraordinary measures, and that's deemed acceptable behavior.
Yeah.
Many of these parents are paying a lot of money for their kid to play on a select team, a club team, a travel team. So they feel, I think, an obligation or a right that they can be like this. And then when their kid gets into middle school, they think it's still the same, and it just is not. So the problem has got to be addressed first in the youth sports level, and then, of course, we can address it at the middle and high school level. But we don't. It's up to the individual organization in youth sports to take care of business. For every, and this is not unique in Texas, this is nationwide, for every 10 new members we get this year, by 3 years from now, we will have lost 7 to 8 of them. So we're retaining 20 to 30% over a three-year period.
It's a pleasure, Mike. And thank you so much for joining us today. He's the executive director of the Texas Association of Sports Officials, Michael Fitch.
And I appreciate you listening to The Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez, and for my friend Dana Lash, reporting to you from South Texas.
Politics, pop culture, and whatever else gets canceled, tossed in a blender, paid for by sponsored hate mail. It's The Dana Show.
From the Rio Grande Valley of Texas at the KURV Talk Studio here in McAllen, Texas, RGV, McAllen Brownsville. This is The Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez, and for my friend Dana Lash. And coming up, just a little bit, coming up next hour of the program, where just go a few minutes forward on the podcast, if you listen later on. Hispanics, Latinos, that culture, it is family-oriented, strong work ethic, frugal in the way they spend money, because, you know, they've gone through need, many of them. Hispanics are conservative. Hispanics love liberty. They love prosperity. They love jobs, jobs, jobs. Hispanics and Latinos are conservative. So why are so many voting for Democrats? Crazy Democrats. Anti-family, just social upheaval, cultural upheaval. All this craziness. They're not paying attention. Part of it is that they're lost, lied to by leftist media, las noticias, the news, and celebrities. So to try to push back, Americano Media, I'm going to share with you a conversation I had with the creator, CEO of Americano Media, new network, and they're pushing back, trying to properly educate conservative Latino Hispanic voters nationwide. Before I do the floor, man, I want to share this little headline. I know it's going to make you feel fuzzy and warm and safe all over. More than 2 tons of natural uranium are missing in Libya. Oh, that's nice. International Atomic Energy Agency saying the efforts to find the missing 10 barrels of, again, 2.5 tons of natural uranium up and running. They're trying to look for that stuff. All right, Steve, well, let's do some more, man.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Hey, would you risk your life for your precious pooch? Walter Hickox did in Florida, Daytona Beach recently. There's video of him risking his life to save his precious pooch pooches. I think it was a couple of small dogs. Got to see the video of that. His name is Walter Hickox. He was charged by a wild bear. This guy did not give in. He did not give up his ground. He stood his ground, scared that bear away, and saved his precious pooches. They're like children to us, right? Like many of us, we have little dogs. Thank you for joining us today on The Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez, reporting to you from South Texas.
I consider high inflation the number one economic problem that all of us need to face and address. It's the president's top priority. I was very supportive of the American Rescue Plan. I think there are many factors that have contributed to high inflation.
Yeah, Treasury Chief Janet Yellen, this is hour three of The Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez, and for my friend Dana Lash, and we're reporting to you from South Texas today. I don't like using too many audio cuts from Janet Yellen. It's just, I know this is very immature sophomore of me to make this observation, but I'm just going to say it because it's on my mind, and that's what I do. I blurt stuff out that's in my mind, and I can't stand her accent. I know some of y'all tuning in, you probably hate the fact that I'm in for Dana. Oh, this clown is here. But hey, I appreciate the fact that you're still here listening to the program. You probably can't stand the way I talk, express myself. I don't know how she does it. It's just the way she speaks sometimes. It just bugs me. I have nothing personal. I just... Does it bug you? Because I know her accent. I don't know where it's from, but anyway, inflation, yes. Number one problem, yes. What's going to happen? Nothing. What's going to change? Nothing. likely probably paying more for everything that we have to pay for, as I was mentioning on yesterday's program. So this time last year, we were looking at close to 9% inflation. Right now, compared to this time last year, we're now encountering 6% inflation. So 12 months in the past couple of years, 15%. We're paying 15% more for everything. It's all in the delivery of goods and the production of goods, and it's in the fuel. The lifeblood of this economy, coursing through the economic veins, is petrol. It's fuel. It's diesel, and it's expensive to pay for all this fuel to send products to market or produce products that need to go to market because it's so expensive. The anti-fossil fuel, anti-oil mindset of the Biden administration. And don't let them fool you, this whole Alaska project that they have. All the regulations, everything from the little motors and pumps and everything that needs to be used for extraction of the slow walking of all these permits, the advocacy, craziness, the zealots that are advocating for this climate change, got to wean ourselves away, got to shut off all the fuel pumps, the oil pumps. It's not helping, and it's keeping the money bags. It's keeping the investors on the sidelines. They're not pouring money into petroleum extraction, increasing the inventory, because they see no guaranteed return in the near future, next 2 years, 4 years down the road, because of the energy policy in this country that has a ripple effect in everything else. I appreciate you tuning in to The Dana Show. Hey, catch the podcast version later in the day. Producer Steve will get to condense everything. That way you can catch up to speed with the day's news. On the business front, I saw this headline that was great news. You know, in California, voters, I found this very surprising. California, months ago, voters in California said that Uber and Lyft needed to keep their contract workers as contract workers, not absorb all these employees, all these workers as employees. You catch my drift? Because if you absorb these contract workers as employees, then you need to offer all the benefits that are mandated by state law, whatever federal law, and start, you know, keeping from them a certain amount to pay for the health insurance. It's costly to provide health insurance and retirement plans, whatever it is that's required of all these businesses. Contract workers, then we just show up, you know, do a gig, do something, work, and get a paycheck, and you figure it out. You go buy your own stuff. But thousands upon thousands of employees at Uber and Lyft, and by extension, a whole bunch of other companies that are also rideshare companies and food delivery companies and, you name it. All these folks that work on contract, the side gigs, folks hustling, making some money on these side gigs. Major court ruling that confirms, reinforces the mindset of voters in California. See, I think voters in California have it in them to reflect on what is right and wrong, what is more liberty-minded versus more statist, heavy-handedness on the part of regulation and bureaucracy. In other words, vote more conservative. Diminish the imposition of state over you. They have it in them. They voted for what was this thing called? Proposition 22 that allowed Uber and Lyft to keep their contract workers as contract workers, not absorb them. Yeah, and lose a lot of money trying to absorb all these people as employees. They said no to that. Well, guess who comes suing? Guess, you know, of course, politicians, bureaucrats, and tax collectors not happy with it. An appeals court judge has overturned a ruling from a lower court. That lower court said that Proposition 22, again, the voters in California saying Uber and Lyft, keep your contract workers as is. Don't need to be absorbing them. Don't need to be spending billions upon billions of dollars to take them in as employees. No, you guys do business the way you believe you need to do business. That all these people doing side hustles. That's what voters said. And a lower court said, no, You voters don't know what you're talking about. That lower court judge, whatever panel it was, said, no, voters in California are stupid. And I seem to recall other measures that voters have approved in California have been shot down by the courts in the past. Everything from, I think it was illegal immigration to what the definition of marriage, a whole bunch of things. The courts always flip what California voters have to say if it's more conservative minded. Either way, in the appeals court, the courts gave voters and ride sharing companies a lift. New ruling allowing that proposition, voter approved Proposition 22 to stand. And it's going to allow ride-sharing companies and their apps to classify their drivers as independent contractors. So there you go. Very good news on the business front this week. Stick around because I'm going to share with you a conversation in a little bit I had with the creator and the CEO of a new company news outlet called Americano Media. It's an all-Spanish product, but it is liberty-minded. It is conservative. It reinforces and advocates for traditional values, for people with a moral compass and common sense, for people who advocate for capitalism, free markets, prosperity, hard work, education, all that. You know, the Latino culture, that is conservative, but many times the Spanish speakers are lost because they got Univision and all these other Spanish networks literally lying to them or advocating for leftist failed policies. Americano Media is an answer to that. So I'll share that conversation with you in just a little bit. So stick around. Last hour, I mentioned to you a case that, man, this one should scare you. North Texas, a 13-year-old child, a 13-year-old little girl on social media having conversations with a 34-year-old man. FBI and police got involved after this 34-year-old Jorge Ivan Santos Camacho had been chatting with a 13-year-old girl from North Texas social media over a period of time. And as I red flagged this when I was reading this a couple of days back on my program, over a period of time, this does not look good on this child's parents. Maybe it's grandma, maybe it's mom and dad, but this is, I say this to you here on the Dana Show. God bless you, Dana, for this national stage. Mom and dad, the gist of it, the point I want to make, you guys need to check your kids' phones. You need to check their tablets, their little laptops, their computers, the websites that they have been visiting, the chats, the communities. Even on the gaming side, they're constantly talking with other gamers, other people. They have no idea who these people are. Old guys pretending to be little girls or young girls sending naked pictures to them, trying to entrap these young men. Protect your kids, protect your girls, protect your boys from the internet. You need to check, see what's on the phone. This 13-year-old girl in North Texas snatched by this 34-year-old man. This dude, he drove to Dallas. From far, far away, North Carolina, drove to Dallas, convinced his 13-year-old child to go with him. And by miracle of some of these doorbell cameras and other property cameras, they were able to find a description of the vehicle. I'm guessing they were able to also trace a license plate. There's cameras everywhere. Those surveillance cameras in the neighborhood gave the FBI and the police investigators a very good look at the vehicle, the information that they need to know to trace that vehicle back to North Carolina, Davidson County. 34-year-old Jorge Ivan Santos Camacho taking this 13-year-old child, this little girl from North Texas. He kidnapped this child, put her in a shed, restrained her, tied her up, raped this child. Now, she's being returned home. It's a miracle that they found her. And it happens all the time. But I thank God, my wife, Mama, she will. The other day we were talking about this. I've told you, I've got a 15-year-old and a 10-year-old. And yes, they get full access to the internet. But no, we're constantly asking and checking and privately grabbing my 10-year-old's computer, seeing what websites he's on. My 15-year-old, who are you talking to? What pictures are you sending? What pictures are you receiving? Mom and Dad, you have to do that. I know it's time-consuming, but the devil is in the internet. That's right. I may sound like the mama from Waterboy. That's the devil, but it's those predators are out there. They hide behind pretty pictures and other profiles that are, and their intent is to snatch your children, take them with them. You may never see them again, or put them in a compromising position. And this happens quite often. How is it that children in our country, first girl, how is it that little girls, our children, get involved in the sex trade or sex exploitation? It's because these punks, whether they're here, like this guy from North Carolina, or they're in Africa or in India, somewhere else, online, they'll exchange pictures, they'll get embarrassing information, and they will force them to either send money or send more pictures and put them in a worse position before. And to the point, there was a story about a month ago I was reading, a football player. I forget where it was, but this young man, he was so embarrassed by him because he had shared some naked pictures of himself. He was fooled by one of these trolls, one of these predators, and he was threatening to send out that information to his family and friends. This was just a young man, beautiful young man, committed suicide. Mom and Dad, check your kid's phone. You're paying for that phone plan. You paid for that phone. It's your phone. You check that phone. You check that tablet. You check that laptop. Always be vigilant, amigo. You have to be, because no one else is going to do it. It's only you. It's 19 minutes after the hour. This is The Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez, reporting to you from the KURV studios in South Texas.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
The Dana Show from South Texas. Steve, I didn't start the timer. Just holler at me and we'll get you, help me land the ship. Young, unmarried American couples are moving in together at a record rate. So say the folks over at the Census Bureau running the numbers, saying that more than 11% of Americans ages 18 to 24, that'd be Gen Z, about 11% Gen Z folks are now living in sin, shacking up, living with each other, the biggest share ever in a demographic. 3.2 million people in our country, Gen Z. Money is a big motivator. So people saying why they do this, 80% say they're saving money, about $1,000 each month. United Kingdom, their government banning TikTok on their phones for all politicians, ministers, civil servants, employees in the UK government. Just the latest salvo in the war against TikTok. Chinese Communist Party owned TikTok, if you didn't know. Another pharmaceutical company lowering the price of insulin. This note this week from Danish drug maker Novo Nordisk announcing they will lower the price of their insulin product by about 75%. Satellite internet firm Viasat expanding its deal to provide in-flight Wi-Fi to Delta Airline customers. Going to be able to service thousands more. And this one is worth repeating as I close last hour with this one. More than 2 tons of natural uranium are missing in Libya. Folks with International Atomic Energy Agency working hard to try to find where those 10 barrels went. But it's natural uranium, right? They don't know how to cook it yet, right? Well, I hope not. From South Texas, I'm Sergio Sanchez. This is The Dana Show.
Of all your favorite talk hosts, one of these is not like the others.
The Dana Show.
Does anything about this crisis with SVB and other banks, does that concern you in the way that things were in 2008? And does that spook members in trying to figure out what is the right course of action in these circumstances?
Well, look, I have faith in President Biden, Secretary Yellen, and the Federal Reserve. They have all hands on deck to manage this and keep our economy sound.
Yeah, shut down Schumer, or as others would say, Chuck you Schumer. Yeah, had it, and he led with Joe Biden. Notice that. Had it been a different president, I wonder if he would provide that same vote of confidence for everybody else, the Treasury Secretary, the Federal Reserve, and so on and so forth. Thanks for joining us on The Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez. And Chuck, do not put your faith in man. You're going to be disappointed every single time. I think had it been a Republican president administration, man, he'd be talking all sorts of smack right now. I have no confidence in the Reserve, no confidence in the Treasury Secretary. But hey, it's his team that's at the wheel right now. Speaking of this bank stuff, in fact, I was looking for, I could not find, I had it in my stack of stuff here. I could swear I saw a write-up that said that Silicon Valley Bank was up and running again, doing regular business operations. I guess they sold it at auction to somebody, picked up all the real estate the bank owns and all the employees and their continuing operations. After all, look, like 10%, and I got this from, it was Dave Ramsey who was waxing eloquently on this. Some people, telling people, just, you guys calm down, just shut up. Like, all these people that lost a bunch of cash in this, they're a bunch of Democrats and Silicon Valley people that put way too much money in there prospecting, and they lost their millions upon millions. It was 90% of that. They were just wrong investments. So about 10% of the customer base was folks who had their accounts covered $250,000 or less. Credit Suisse was in the news this morning. $54 billion lifeline from Switzerland, $54 billion loan. They need to pay it back, but they put a bunch of cash in Credit Suisse. Other news of the day, of course, it's tournament time. It's the big dance starts in earnest. I mean, I know they played a few games already. Among them, the surprise for us, a smaller campus for the Texas A&M system, Corpus Christi, just north of me. Anyway, 16 games. Tipping off in the first round of the tourney today. And they, right now, in fact, they might be starting up some of these games. All number one seeds, Kansas, Alabama, Houston, in action. And it's the Crimson Tide taking on one of the little Cinderella teams so far. They only won one game. Texas A&M, Corpus Christi. I hope they keep winning. Beat the Crimson Tide. A sports note I want to share with you. I had this in the pile yesterday. I didn't know this about QB Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers is like a mushroom psychedelic science expert. He's like into hallucinogens. They call this dude a plant teacher. He's that an expert when it comes to mushrooms. He was at this. Did it happen already? Oh, no, it's coming up. Aaron Rodgers, QB Aaron Rodgers, who, by the way, I think wants to go play with New York if they can figure out how to pay off his contract. He's such an expert in psychedelic sciences, mushrooms. He's going to be speaking mid-June this year in Denver at the Psychedelic Sciences Conference. Mr. Plant Teacher himself. So the QB stuff doesn't work out for him. I guess he could be dispensing, selling mushrooms. You're listening to The Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez, joining you from South Texas. I want to share with you a conversation that I had earlier this day with the founder and CEO of a new media network, news network. It's pretty much all Spanish right now, but we'll be morphing into Spanish English. We call it Spanglish, English as well. Americano Media, hoping to cater, hoping to serve truth, conservative information and news to the Latino community in this country. Attention, conservatives. There's a new media outlet. This time they're targeting a fast-growing segment of the population that is conservative. That'd be Latinos, Hispanics, from all over the place. Ivan Garcia Hidalgo is the founder of Americano Media. Great pleasure and honor to meet you, Ivan. Good to talk to you. Tell the audience a little bit about yourself. Who are you? And then segue into Americano Media. Tell me that vision.
Absolutely, Sergio. Hey, thanks for the invite. Very, very honored to be on your show. Very important part of the country that you serve, so thanks.
You're here.
About myself, what can I tell you? I'm just a regular guy, Sergio. A guy that just refused to give up, a guy that refused to quit, and one of those guys that, probably like you and many others, said we needed to have a Fox News-like network in Spanish, and nobody was doing it, so I decided, hey, what the hell, let's go do this. I think it's been long enough, for at least 20 years that I recall, we've always been talking about somebody's got to launch Fox News in Spanish, and lo and behold, here we are.
It's a TV network, right? It's on. Is it on cable? Is it on satellite? Where did you position Americano?
So we launched last year in March. We launched on Sirius XM and realized pretty quickly that Latinos are not on satellite radio. They are on terrestrial radio, like, yes, stations like yours.
Yeah.
right? And so we off-ramped and you know, terminated our relationship with SiriusXM and moved on with Odyssey in a syndication deal. So we're on terrestrial radio in Miami, Radio Libre, 790 AM. And on Monday, we actually expanded our terrestrial radio footprint with iHeart. So we're going to be in Orlando, Tampa, and Jacksonville. Hmm. We're also going to be on their digital app where we're going to have our own channel. So we're going to be streaming our direct signal there. We're going to have all of our content and podcasts. And at the same time, yes, we have television that we are slowly bringing up. We're going to have 18 hours a day, which is what we have right now on radio, is 18 hours a day from 6 a.m. to midnight. And on TV, it's going to be also 6 a.m. to midnight, but different programming, TV programming versus radio, sure. Which, as you know, are 2-3 hour blocks apiece, right? So on TV, you can download our app, iOS, Android, on over-the-top streaming. We're on Apple TV, Google TV, Amazon Fire, and Roku. So that's just the beginning. We plan on expanding that to other places like Samsung Plus and Pluto and many other streaming platforms.
You bet.
We're pretty excited.
It's wonderful to see on the internet TV, the free TV, all these new channels that come out. And, yeah, in fact, even our own Dana Lash, for example, is just one of many contributors on Pluto, for example. And other you'll see her there, and you'll see her on, I think, the first.
Yep.
My guest, Ivan Garcia Hidalgo, he's the creator of Americano Media. It's nothing but Spanish, right? Straightforward Spanish, 24/7 radio, and, of course, you're working on the TV version of it.
That's correct. But we do have English, so we've had two sit-downs with President Trump. We've had General Kellogg, we've had, Governor Abbott, we've had Senator Lee, Senator Scott. We've had plenty of English-speaking guests. So what we do is we can't push that through radio. So we put it on our app or on TV as video, and we caption it in Spanish. So there's going to be a combination, but yes, I would say 90% is going to be Spanish. But we are going to start moving to Spanglish, which is a lot of fun, and certainly to some content in English, right? But as you know, our people, we speak Spanglish, right? So mm-hmm. We do that all the time. So,
where it matters, Ivan, how receptive is the market where you can monetize this and let's pay salaries and grow the network? Or tell me on the business front, how are you doing?
We're doing great. We've raised over $20 million. We are in the process of our next round of funding, which we plan on raising somewhere between 35 to 50. Have tremendous interest in doing that. And on the monetizing, we're pretty excited. I mean, we're getting CPMs that are very, very high, especially on the podcast side. On the radio side right now, we're starting to see the ratings pop up and jump up in Miami, beating all the other incumbents who are there to becoming, the number one station in Spanish talk. So, we believe that model's going to replicate across the country. We're talking about, Bakersfield, Vegas, et cetera, et cetera.
I want to lurch toward that, the difference in demographics and the markets. Ivan Garcia Hidalgo, he's the creator of Americano Media. So let's talk about the difference in demographics, cultures. One thing I have to explain to friends in media, Hispanic, Latinos, we're not homogenous. Man, we're all over the place.
That's right.
We got folks coming in from Cuba and Venezuela these days that are clamoring for liberty and capitalism and freedom. And we have economic migrants coming in from Central America, gaming the asylum thing, trying to get in for jobs. Southern California, we have second, third generation Latinos that are embarrassingly promoting communism, May Day marches, all these communists in California. Man, we're all over the place. Tell me about the challenges in trying to cater to that and advocate for a free market, liberty-minded message.
Sergio, that's a great point. So let me walk you exactly through that. So we paid Tony Fabrizio, one of the country's best pollers, right? He does Wall Street Journal polling for President Trump. We did a poll for 1,200 registered Hispanic voters nationwide. So across all of those demographics you just mentioned, a tremendous amount of data. And actually, I'm going to get you that poll. So you can
look at it. Oh my goodness. Thank you.
Fascinating.
Yes.
Fascinating.
Okay.
And you see one thing, English-dominant Hispanics, we vote Republican. Spanish-dominant Hispanics vote Democrat. So here's the answer. Where do you get your information mostly from?
Mm-hmm.
1,200 Hispanics responded, 41% said Fox News.
Mm-hmm.
So what does that tell you? That there's no information in Spanish. That's why they vote Democrat, because they only get information from Telemundo, Univision, CNN Español, which are Marxist regimes. I mean, that's what they are, right? They're Marxist organizations,
advocates.
And they're an embarrassment.
Yep.
And that's what they've been peddling and pushing to our people all across the country. Now we have Americano. Now we can sit there and talk to our communities and show them the sharp contrast between capitalism and Marxism, which has failed over 100 times in 100 years. And exactly the ideology that all these people are running away from and coming to America.
Hello.
So don't come to America and bring the same garbage that destroyed those countries, right?
Yep. That's, man, that's awesome. I wish you the best, brother, and more power to you as you try to expand this network to the, especially the Spanish-speaking population in this country that needs a wake-up call. They ran from it,
yep.
Or their next generation, their parents ran from it. They need to defend the liberty that they or their parents ran to in this country, the shining city on hill. Ivan, thank you.
That's right.
For what you're
doing. That's exactly right. And hopefully we'll have you on the air on Americano soon.
All right. No, you don't want me, dude. You don't want to say face for radio? Yeah, that's what you get over here. Yeah.
All right.
Thank you, Ivan. Ivan Garcia Hidalgo from Americano Media. I think one of the public services that Americano Media and other outlets that wish to do the same is to hyper-focus, repeat as often as possible, the failure of communism, Marxist ideas, communist ideas in the Americas. The destruction of Venezuela, for example, the prosperity that they once enjoyed in Venezuela from mineral rights, the oil, the minerals that they have there, they destroy the market. Quasi-communist, statist, heavy-handed, market control, price control, they destroy the Venezuela economy. And as many fellow Latinos have come to this country, I think that one of the public services from Americano Media and others focus on the failures of statism, focus on the failures of centralized decision made. Focus on the failures of communism. Where? How many times has it failed, and how deadly those mistakes have been through the years? How many millions have lost their lives under statist control in these regimes? Focus on parents choosing schools, better schools, protecting the family unit, protecting traditional values, protecting their religion, protecting their children, do all things legally, including entry into this country, promote market prosperity, you know, speak the language. A freedom-loving people, liberty-minded people, and in this case, that demographic, the Latinos. But by the way, just a quick mention, here in South Texas, where I'm bringing you the Dana Show from today, one of our local congressmen, Vicente, they call him Chente, Vicente Chente, with a liberal gente, liberal people, Vicente Gonzalez, although by Democrat Party standards, the crazy leftist standards today, they would call him a moderate, but anyway, he's the target of the National Republican Party now. National Republicans going to pour a bunch of money into the seat that he represents. The Republicans, you guys remember a few days back, the celebrity Mayra Flores, young woman, Mexican-born, reared, young Mayra Flores, superstar she became for a few months because she won a special election. Republican won that seat first time ever. Well, Vicente Chente took that seat back, and now Republicans want it back. And there's going to be battle royals, it's going to be a big fight to get that Texas 34 seat back. And it's going to happen, I think, if Americano Media and others properly message liberty and repeat those programs for Spanish-speaking people. This is The Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez reporting to you from South Texas.
Listen to The Dana Show live on the Odyssey app. Weekdays, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Time.
Catch the podcast version, a condensed version of all this audio, The Dana Show, on a regular basis. Producer Steve, all the gang, they'll put that anywhere you get podcasts, you'll find The Dana Show. I'm Sergio Sanchez, and for my friend Dana, a quick political note from Florida. I noticed that a universal school voucher program getting closer to their governor, Ron DeSantis. legislation in Florida, going to offer about $8,000 to all Florida students. Each student, $8,000. Mom and Dad, you decide where to send the kids. And I saw this little headline, Georgia Democrat Stacey Abrams saying she might run for political office again. Yeah, like, big surprise there, huh? What else is she going to do? Get a real job? All right, the stupid audio of the day, stupid news of the day. Back to you, Steve. What you got?
I don't know why Joe Biden always keeps making this joke, but he's talking to nurses and doctors, and I don't know what he likes about balconies. But
oh, wow, I didn't see you all up there. Holy mackerel, please. Don't jump.
He says that all the time when he sees somebody a floor above him. I don't get it, man. It's comedy, I guess, a joke from an era gone by. I'm Sergio Sanchez. You want to say hi online, Sergio at KURV.com or at Sergio Talk on Twitter. This is The Dana Show.